This is a long-term systems project that I'm reporting on, and as you can see here, we have several cooperators, including the Nature Conservancy, but a lot of people in the audience have worked on different parts of this project. What is the sod-based rotation and why are we doing it? We are looking at a total system on a farm, and as you can see here, what it is 2 years of bahia grass, and it could be different depending upon the farm. First and second year bahia grass, we are on this 160-acre variable rate center pivot. We are using 90 cow-calf pairs. We do plant, after we kill out the bahia grass, on the second year we plant oats and rye because this is an operating farm. We go in with peanuts the first year out of bahia grass, then oats and rye, back to cotton, oats and rye, before we go back into the bahia grass again. We also, this is a tri-state project, we have small replicated plots in each of the states. This is at Quincy, Florida, showing bahia grass that's been killed out and strip-tilled, cotton strip-tilled into, versus the conventional rotation, which we call is 2 years of cotton followed by peanuts before it goes back into cotton, versus 2 years of bahia followed by peanuts and then cotton. The system, and I'm not going to talk about the economics today, but where we have cattle in it versus the standard 2 years of cotton followed by peanuts is about 2 to 7 times more profitable than the normal rotation. And what we are looking at as far as adoption, there's about 25 to 30% of the row crop farmers in Florida, and about the same amount in Georgia, and about 40% of the row crop farmers in Alabama that actually have cattle. One of the main things here that we have seen is that we have been getting an organic matter increase of about 0.1% per year in this bahia rotation versus the standard rotation where we're strip tilling. The main reason for this is that the root system underneath the bahia grass is about 20,000 pounds per acre versus 3,000 to 4,000 pounds on the winter annuals. The large system that we have at Mariana with the cow-calf operation, this field, 160-acre field, is divided into quadrants. This field is actually after cotton, and the background is after peanuts. Bahia grass over here, and on the other quadrant is first-year bahia grass. Anytime that we have cattle in these areas, we have exclusion cages that cattle are never allowed to be in on the bahia grass or the winter grazing, and you can see them over here and here and actually working on one in another quadrant, so that we can determine the impacts of cattle on soil physical and chemical properties, as well as on the cotton and peanuts, the winter grazing, and the bahia grass in the system. We have looked at many different things, and again, strip tillage. We do use strip tillage on everything, or no tillage. Shows the cotton a little later on. We're putting in suction cup lysimeters here, but I'm going to be talking about the nitrogen and water requirements. In 2007, looking at the above ground biomass in these systems, and this is sod cotton without nitrogen whatsoever, cotton with 95 pounds of total nitrogen, that's 35 pounds at planting time and 60 pounds side dressed. The conventional cotton first year in the cotton peanut rotation, second year cotton with and without nitrogen, and you can tell in each case the biomass of the cotton following peanuts in the bahia rotation, we've got a lot more biomass, and even without nitrogen it's high. The leaf area index follows the same trend. Again, the cotton following peanuts in the sod-based rotation, we were using the first 2 years, we were using Delta Pine 555. It's a very growthy plant, as you know. And that was one reason that we started going with zero nitrogen. We were getting some high yields. We were getting a lot of growth. We could not control the growth with this variety, and you can see in 2008 we had a very similar trend. With in the small plots, one of the things that we run into every year in the southeast, May is normally a dry period. This is what it looks like every year when cotton comes up, the irrigated cotton comes on and does well. The dry land cotton, the technician is always, can't we at least put one irrigation on this to get it up? But growers, if they don't have irrigation, they don't have irrigation, and this is what they run into. However, in most years, as in 2009, this is what happens. This is the conventional rotation, 2 years of cotton followed by peanuts. The first 80 feet in the front of each of these plots is irrigated. The back is not irrigated. Generally, once it starts growing, once it comes up, it does catch up. You will notice here the difference in growth. Again, this is what has happened over the years and the reason we went to zero nitrogen. We do get a lot more growth in this sod-based system. Here's 60 pounds of nitrogen in the standard rotation. Again, this is following peanuts from the previous year in the conventional rotation. This is cotton and the Bahia rotation following peanuts as well with 60 pounds of N. The total nitrogen uptake follows a very similar trend to what we saw on plant biomass and leaf area index. Total of about 200 pounds of N being taken up. Almost 150 pounds of N being taken up on the cotton in 2007. This was a very dry year for us. We ended up that year about 30 inches below normal in rainfall. Likewise, in 2008, we had the most nitrogen uptake, again, about 200 pounds total. Looking at leaf water potential from these plots, and we'll just look at the non-irrigated because 2007 was the driest year that we had during this time. But again, you can see the cotton grown in the sod-based rotation. If you take a minus 1.5 as a trigger point to irrigate, we had about a six-week period in here that we did not need irrigation. And a lot of this was during the bloom period, which was a critical time, as compared to the cotton in the standard rotation. And again, the standard rotation had all of that cover crop, and we did use conservation tillage. And in 2008, again, we had a very similar trend on the sod cotton. Essentially, we never got to the point about 1.5 here again that the cotton following peanuts in the Bahia rotation really did not need an irrigation, whereas the conventional cotton, either the first or second year, did. In 2009, this is an average leaf water potential. We had a lot of rain. There really was very little difference in the leaf water potential, whether the cotton followed sod or the first or second year with or without nitrogen. Looking at lint yields in 2007, there was a trend with the sod, the cotton following peanuts in the sod rotation to be higher yielding than the first year cotton in the conventional rotation or the second year without nitrogen. Here was the total 95 pounds of N, and again, cotton in the sod rotation did have a higher yield. A very similar trend in 2008, generally three bale cotton with no nitrogen. Again, this was Delta Pine 555, and it was not significantly different than the first or second year cotton with nitrogen, with the highest yield again being cotton in the side-base rotation with nitrogen. 2009 was a tough year as far as getting differences. We did not find the differences that we had. Nitrogen did have some impact in these systems, but the sod cotton did not break out in 2009 like it did the previous 2 years. And looking at what happened in the large trials with the animals and the impacts the animals have on cotton, we did look at not only nitrogen but the other nutrients down through the soil profile down to a meter depth. One thing you will notice here, the nitrate nitrogen, again, as we saw in this plot here, we did have cover crops. We take down the fences every time we plant a crop, whether it's the winter grazing or the cotton or the peanuts. We never put the fences up when we've got those crops because we do treat them just like we do the rest of the field. But essentially what happened, if you look, this was soil samples taken right after winter grazing and before cotton was planted, where it was grazed, non-irrigated, and irrigated. You see down through the soil profile, we kept a lot of the nitrogen in the upper profile due to the cattle recycling that nitrogen. The same thing was true of potassium, calcium, and magnesium. Phosphorus was different. The phosphorus line was way out here where it was ungrazed, but where the cattle were grazing, it was a lot more uniform down through the soil profile. And I think a lot of that phosphorus was more available to the plants as through the manure. And it kind of surprised me, but down here you will notice the non-grazed, the nitrogen had already leached down through the soil profile. And this is what, you know, one of the things that we do recommend to growers is that they use cover crops. But cattle can be an added benefit in that system as far as keeping nitrogen and other nutrients from leaching through the profile. As far as lint yields, in 2008, where it was grazed, almost four bale cotton, irrigated, not significantly different, but lower. Where it was non-irrigated, yields were similar between the non-irrigated and irrigated where the cattle were, so the cattle did add benefit there. 2009, again, in this system, we had a lot of nitrogen in the system. Throughout the year, we had a very difficult time harvesting this year due to the rainfall, and we did not see the differences in 2009 as we did in 2008. In general, what we have seen looking at the with cattle, without cattle on the Bahia grass, that we do have the potential for four bale cotton in the southeast with cattle, being able to reduce the nitrogen, no cattle. Maybe a slightly lower yield, but still a good yield. Cover crops, as several speakers have mentioned, we may not necessarily increase yields with cover crops, but it does hold soil and does have benefit. But as we get on down to conventional tillage, it's very similar. In conclusion, high lint yields were obtained following grazed cover crops and were higher in the grazed non-irrigated plots than the ungrazed irrigated plots, and this is mostly due to nitrogen cycling. Generally, total nitrogen uptake and plant growth was highest in the sod rotated cotton versus the conventional rotation. I think the bottom line here is that Bahia grass and winter grazing can both contribute to increased cotton yields through enhanced plant growth and nutrient cycling. So with that, I don't know if I have time for questions or not, but okay.
Hold questions?
Sure.
So
thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Oops.